and welcome to the Valentine's Day edition of Tasting Room Radio. It's not actually, you know, it's the 12th, and then the 13th, and then the 14th. We'll get around to it, but because it's in close relationship, next door neighbor to Valentine's Day, that's what we're calling it. Two guests. We're going to start with Barclay Robinson, who was the winemaker at Road 13 on the Golden Mile. And he has an interesting concept for you. First of all, we're going to talk about winter whites, and we're going to talk about a couple of reds that they're releasing. In the second segment, we're going to talk about this blind tasting that they've organized. That's absolutely fantastic. Love is Blind is what they called one of them. And I'm not going to spoil that and tell you what those blind tastings are, but we want to let you know that you can get to Road 13 and do this blind tasting, or they'll ship them out to you. It's a great idea, done with a wonderful sense of humor, and my congratulations, my admiration to the marketing people, the creative, who put this together. It's really cool. By the way, the labels, it says rip it and sip it, because you want to hold on to that, all of the information that you need, and some of it that you can't read is on the label. It's very cool marketing. And the second interview is with a great friend, old friend, Graham Pierce, who some of you know from Mont Boucherie, from Time, Harry McWater's label, and of course from Black Hills, the makers of Nota Bene. He is now the head winemaker and the general manager at Kitsch in Kelowna. And they're making beautiful wines. We're going to talk about their two Rieslings and their two Pinot Noirs. And both of these interviews can be found on our YouTube website, Terry David Mulligan, and at mulliganstew.ca. Just look under Tasting Room Radio. It's in the post there. Thank you so much to our sponsors and to you for being out there. Enjoy. Cheers. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. February 12th and 13th, they're toasting to all things love with an Unsworth ovation and chocolate pairing. And you can eat your heart out. Bring your Valentine for dinner February 13th or 14th. Join them for Valentine's Day dinner, featuring a four-course menu and optional wine pairings. You can find all the details and the Valentine's Day dinner menu at unsworthvineyards.com. Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio in the Nanoose Bay studio. But Tasting Room Radio started in a barn, on the Naramata bench, and a studio in the barn. We've come full circle because one of the very first wineries that I ever befriended or befriended me was Road 13 on the Golden Mile bench. Well, it was called Golden Mile at the time. They gave up that name to become Road 13. It turned out really well because it's a very handsome logo. And I have found the current winemaker, Barclay Robinson. Are you at your tasting counter now?
Yeah, I'm actually standing here looking straight across at the Black Sage bench. It's a beautiful day. Yeah.
It's fantastic. Can you give us the brief bio? I think I kind of warned you I'd do this, just so people understand how you got to this position that you're in now.
Absolutely, yeah. So the previous winery I was at in Ontario was called the Foreign Affair Winery, and I specialized in full-bodied red wines there. And obviously, if you're going to, you know, really dive into continuing to make full-bodied red wines and Syrah especially, the South Okanagan is where you got to be. I mean, it's such a fantastic growing region, ideal conditions for the grapes. So it naturally brought me out here. But one of my favorite quotes from another winemaker, I can't take credit for it, she said that almost everyone in the wine industry is refugees from other professions, and that's that's no exception. You know, like if you have doctors that, and lawyers that have given up their professions and become winemakers, and you have people from all walks of life that rediscover this path because it's not an obvious.
And what was your other walk of life?
Originally, I was in hospitality, so I was a professional sommelier through the late 90s and early 2000s in Calgary. And always ended up talking to the winemakers and have a real artistic side to me as well as a scientific side. So I always ended up talking to the winemakers about how they made these incredible wines. And the more and more I talked, the more and more I wanted to just try it.
What you thought winemaking was as a sommelier and what winemaking is as a winemaker?
Completely two different animals.
Wow. It's a humbling experience, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean, if they told us in winemaking school, like I did my full degree at Brock at in Oenology and Viticulture, if they had told us on day one that you'd probably spend about 80 to 85% of your time not doing any of the winemaking, is just all the other stuff that's around it. It would have been a little bit humbling for sure at that point.
You were handed a winery because of your skills, but also well-established, had won its share of awards, best winery in Canada, Road 13.
Yes.
Beautiful old vineyards, real heritage to it, right?
Absolutely.
And a well-earned reputation. So I guess the first rule of winemaking in your new gig was to not screw up what was already there and to just make it as best as you can and even better.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like whenever you take over another winery, you're for the first 2 years with Reds, you're curating wines that are already in existence. Sure. As they go through the aging process. With the whites, you have pretty much a 12 month turnaround before you have your own wines buried to bottle. So the trick with an established winery is not alienating the clients and the clientele that you already have coming to the winery, that you have people that love the wines, and rightly so. So you want to make sure you bring them along on the journey and just show how it's going to get better from here. So that's what I was tasked with, was really telling that story of the South Okanagan and really diving into the Rhone varieties, the full-bodied reds especially, but also really taking our sparkling program, which we have some of the oldest Chenin Blanc vines North America, they planted in 1968. So another really cool thing. So, but I love making red wine, so it was a natural fit for both.
Those Chenins were going to be pulled out to make room for some fancy schmancy wine, and somebody was stubborn enough to say no, just leave them where they are. They may look ugly to you, but they're beautiful to me. And way to go on that one, Barclay Robinson, the winemaker at Row 13. Now. Save me some room at the end of this conversation, Barclay, about this great tasting experience that you guys have come up with at Road 13. I'm fascinated by it. I'm challenged by it. And I think if you ever wanted to blind taste, friends, which is the way to go, Road 13 have come up with a great idea, and wait until you see the bottles, okay? They're secret. I can't tell you what's in those things, but I can ask about some of your releases if it's okay with you.
Absolutely.
God, why wouldn't I start with Viognier? Why wouldn't?
Oh yeah.
I mean, if you can do Chenin Blanc, you can do a great Viognier, because you have the heat, right? You have the vines. How did this 2019 turn out for you?
It turned out fantastic. And I think just to add to your point, this particular vineyard of Viognier is in the South Okanagan, so we get the heat, but it's also on the west side, so it tends to get that evening shade first, the morning sun, so it gets that nice gentle morning warmth and the heat throughout the day, but it gets the coolness of the evening first on the west side due to that mountain shadow. So you tend to retain a lot of natural acidity in the whites. So the Chenin Blanc, the Chardonnay that's on site, and also the Viognier that we draw from as well. So, and because it's on that west side, the Kobo mountain range that's behind the winery, how that was formed, it has a lot of limestone effect too. So you don't necessarily taste a salinity in the wine, but because the limestone effect of the soil, it really gives you that really plush mid palate.
It has, I have a thing called, I love winter whites. Because there's a lot of people in there thinking that once summer's over, there's no whites. It's all going to be reds. There are winter whites, and this is one of them. This Viognier, and I got another one for you as well. They have structure. They have texture. They have a long finish. They aggressively get your attention as soon as you place it in your mouth, even on your nose. And this Viognier is one of them, a winter white that can handle soups and stews, big foods in the winter.
Absolutely. And it'll even stand up to like some of the spicier foods, like some Moroccan dishes and stuff like that, because it has a really nice tropical mid palate to it. You get a lot of that apricot and white peach that come through on the Viognier. And it's just a fantastic white wine. And I think one of our wine club members really summed it up best. He was he was quite surprised. He tasted this Viognier, not expecting to like it, and because it's a white wine, right? And he tasted it, and he was like, "This is a white wine for red wine drinkers." And you know, that's kind of really where a lot of our wines lie, is that they have power, they have depth, they have even the whites.
I know that. I know that winemakers all reference, you know, wines are made in the vineyard, but barrel aging up to 6 months can help your whites along as well.
Absolutely, as long as it's done in the right balance. So all of my winemaking philosophy really centers on balance, both in the vineyard and getting the vine balanced to really get that essential ripeness in the vineyard that we're looking for, but with that balance of acidity. But then also in the winemaking process as well, when you're talking about reds, how much tannin to extract during the fermentation process, and then with the blending, it's about having everything in balance. It's like a symphony. You want to hear everything. You don't want to necessarily hear one instrument over the other. Like, as much as a bassoon is a great instrument, you don't want to hear a bassoon solo over the entire orchestra.
Come on, how many bassoon players have you hung around?
A couple. I was in an orchestra. I had music in my
background.
I
was a trumpet player, but bassoons, they're completely different people. 2019 Jackpot Chardonnay is this other white I wanted to talk about. Jackpot, I know from my Road 13 experience, means it's the best of the best. It's like it's a cut above, which is why the price point would be higher. But the Chardonnay that is resulting is gorgeous. It's
gorgeous. Thank you. Yeah. And the name Jackpot comes from, actually, there was a gold mine on Cobo Mountain behind the winery. It was a Jackpot gold mine. It was one of the most prolific gold mines in the South Okanagan. And so in order to do that whole reserve line, we took that name.
Hey, Barclay, it does say from the Castle Vineyard.
Absolutely.
And if I remember correctly, the original winery that was there many, many years ago had turrets on it that looked like a castle.
It does, yeah, and so the building's still standing for now, and so the vineyards are on our home block. So this is the estate vineyard, is called the Castle Vineyard. So
I don't know what you want from your Chardonnay friends, but if you want pear on the nose, if you want citrus apple, green apple, if you want an incredible mouthfeel as it slides down your throat, if you want something for your barbecue chicken, if you want salmon. If you want any fish dish over the course of the winter, this is another winter white. It's the 2019 Jackpot Chard. $52 was the price point.
Absolutely, yeah.
The price point on the heavyweight Viognier 2019 is $26, which is a bargain.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. So can we move on to the reds in just a minute?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
He is Barclay Robinson. He is the winemaker at Road 13 on the Golden Mile. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about some reds that'll just roll your socks up and down. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. February 12th and 13th, they're toasting to all things love with an Unsworth Ovation and chocolate pairing. And you can eat your heart out. Bring your Valentine for dinner February 13th or 14th. Join them for Valentine's Day dinner, featuring a four-course menu and optional wine pairings. You can find all the details and the Valentine's Day dinner menu at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. Hillside Bistro will be open March of 2022. Wine tastings are closed until March of 2022, and the wine shop hours are daily, 12 noon to 5 p.m. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. Welcome back. I'm Terry David Mulley, and this is Tasting Room Radio, with a shout-out to Pam and Mick and Joe Luckhurst, the Luckhurst family, and all those winemakers who created this incredible winery. We find ourselves at Road 13 on the Golden Mile. It's all about the dirt. And so we've talked about the Viognier and the Chardonnay with Barclay Robinson, the winemaker at Road 13. So I want to ask him about some reds. And then I want to ask him in this second segment about a great blind tasting idea that they've come up with. Let's start with the Syrah. The 2018 Syrah, smoky year. You can talk to smoke, if you will, on this one. 15% alcohol. It's a beautiful, beautiful bottle of wine. One of your favorites? You're a Syrah guy, right?
I absolutely am. And yeah, to speak to 2018, it was definitely one of those warm years, really hot vintage. And you can definitely taste that in the ripeness of the fruit.
Sure.
It was a bit of a smoke year for sure. Tends to be a little higher.
That does cut down on your heat units, right? And
it does. Yeah, and it's in the smoke.
But it's interesting that the planet has a way of compensating on the other end.
It is. Like in some of those really warm years, you actually want the ripening to slow down a little bit, especially in the South Okanagan. It can actually get away from you a little bit and get a little too hot. So you want this ripening in August and early September just to slow down a little bit. And that higher smoke that we experienced in 2018 didn't so much give you a smoky flavor in the wine as much as it cut the sun out.
You blend... people may forget this in their choices, but a Syrah, although it's a single varietal, can be blended from a number of different spots. You did some nice blending here.
Yeah. So what we tend to do, we draw on 8 different blocks of Syrah. We have 4 on the Golden Mile, 2 on the Black Sage, and a couple from the Similkameen Valley. And so each of them bring their own nuances. And I would say the biggest difference west to east. So Golden Mile is going to give you that really northern roan, nice spice, a little bit of white pepper, sometimes a little bit of cracked black pepper. And then that east side on the Black Sage and in the Similkameen, that have that east exposure to the valley, they tend to get the heat of the day. So you get a lot of those really dark cherry, blackberry, and real big brambleberry notes. So
I just love, you know what? I heard those words over and over and over again. I love them every time. The white pepper, cracked black pepper, just... all of that stuff, cooking spices, a little bit. Listen, don't be put off by when people talk about just a little bit of smoke on the ear. There is always going to be smoke somewhere. You got sage coming in between the Similkameen and the Okanagan Valleys. You got a lot of that going on. If you're a fan of pork tenderloin or osoboko stews, big stuff. This is your wine, the 2018 Syrah from Road 13, 15.1, actually.
and another food pairing, Terry, that worked really well for our vegetarian crowds, that it's a classic pairing with Syrah, which tends to have a bit of a leathery, smoky note anyway, kind of a meaty, gamey note is how we call it in the industry.
Yeah.
But there's a version of... beef bourguignon that uses button mushrooms and wild mushrooms instead of the meat. And it has all the same flavors of beef bourguignon, and it works so well with this wine.
You know what? For many wine fans, once you realize how you can connect food and wine and pair like they're one, then all bets are off. Then you go searching for the rest of your life for things to pair with your wines, which is why we always mention them. This Syrah, price point. Have you got a price point on this Syrah?
Price point is $35.
Hold on, let me get that down there because people are going to ask me. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And I would expect nothing less from Road 13 than a great Syrah. This beautiful bottle, which comes in at 14.3 alcohol. I'll tell you that.
It's a lightweight.
So the same growing year, the same conditions, different vineyards?
Yeah, a similar area. I mean, most of the Cab Sauv for the 2018 came out of that Costan area of the Similkameen, a little bit from the South Okanagan as well. So you get the blend of the two in this wine. So you get a really nice ripe Cab Sauv. You spoke to the alcohol a little bit, and that's just the difference in when those grapes mature and ripen.
You mentioned the Similkameen. It's a very special valley, that valley. Yeah. Given the heat, given what you have to break equipment to grow in, to drill into. But there's the Similkameen River. I've fished it, and there's always a breeze. Always a breeze.
Yeah, and it's really amazing because like the South Okanagan right up to Oliver and the Similkameen right up to Costan run parallel to each other.
Sure.
And at that latitude, the Similkameen dog legs west. So when you grow your reds right in that Costan Carameas area, right in the elbow, you tend to get about an hour or more of the evening sun. So it's like the black sage, but with a little bit more sun exposure. So for grapes like Cab Sauv and Syrah, Malbec, it's fantastic.
Barrel aging, how long?
With the Cab Sauv, it tends to be a little longer because the tannins are just a little firmer in their use. So it tends to be about 16 to 18 months, okay, depending on the year.
Separate ferment and aging?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You're looking for, again, you're coming back to your word balance. You're looking for balance. You're looking for one vineyard to balance another. How many different blends would you have before you actually decide what that blend is?
Oh my gosh. When we're in the middle of harvest, with accounting for all the different vineyards and blocks, we're more in that 30 to 32 different wine batches.
No way.
And then you kind of taste them through and see how you're going to put the wines together.
So what's in the bottle has to go through this process like a wine Olympics. And you get to that one blend that says, that's it. That's exactly what it is. Bottle it. And then it ages in the bottle as well. And
absolutely.
You recommend decanting and letting it breathe?
It's definitely going to benefit from some decanting. It's made to be very approachable, but decanting always helps it just open up that much more.
Lots of blackberry, ripe fruit, red berries, currant, I think is mentioning. It's complete.
Thank you.
So the cab, how much is the cab?
The cab is 33.
The Syrah is 35. Fantastic. Wonderful.
Now, apologies, the Cabernet Sauvignon is 31, so it's a bargain.
Barclay Robinson, winemaker at Row 13, Tasting Room Radio. In the time we have left, I heard about this, and then I saw this blind tasting that you have come up with, the team there. Just explain what it is, first of all, and then I'll show a couple of labels.
Absolutely. Well, the whole idea of the blind tasting, I think for those who haven't experienced it, is just taking that personal bias out of the tasting.
Sure.
Most of us have preconceived notions about what you like, what you don't like. And the biggest example of that is Chardonnay. Most people's aversion to Chardonnay goes back to the late 90s, early 2000s, yeah, where it's like anything but Chardonnay because it was, yeah, it tended to be over oaked,
sure,
at the time, and it was nicknamed Chateau 2x4 for a reason in the industry, right? So we brought the Chardonnays back and really honored the minerality of the soils that they're grown on, the fruit, and also the natural acidity, but just balancing it with the barrel aging program for that particular wine.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to take those biases out, because a lot of people find that they actually like Chardonnay. It's just they don't necessarily enjoy every winemaking style of Chardonnay.
So I am sworn, by the way, friends, I'm not going to tell you what these blind tastings are. I don't want to spoil it. I want you to do it for yourself. These are I have the labels, which come off nicely, and they actually say on it, rip and sip. And there, no, hold up the bottle again, Barclay, just for a second.
Certainly.
So that's what it looks like. And everything on the outside, see all the black markings there? That's the winemaker's notes. Some of them I can see things like our wines. We'll let you in on a secret, and then everything's blacked out like it's some sort of political speech. This is fantastic. And frankly, down the bottom is you can scan the bottom and find out exactly what you're doing, but you don't want to do that. You want to do this with your friends. You want to do it at that tasting room. Where can we find these wines, and where can we test ourselves?
I mean, obviously, the best experience is going to be coming to the winery.
Sure.
And having that experience here at the winery. There's also some different wines that we can throw into the experience that we can't always mail out.
Yeah.
But we also wanted to make this accessible, of course, with COVID and just with the highways being what they were this year in BC especially, just being able to bring that experience to your door and kind of take a riff on the whole blind date thing, right? So take a blind tasting and make a blind date out of it.
So there's romances in the air. There are three packages. There is heavyweight whites. There's a sea of red. What's the third one?
There's a perfect pair, a sea of red, and the dynamic duo in the Love is Blind series. So perfect pair will give you a red and a white blind date. Sea of red gives you two reds for people who are 100% just red wine drinkers.
Sure.
And then the dynamic duo tends to be our reserve wines.
I guarantee you these notes on the label will be the highlight of your tasting, because as you go around the bottle and then you're looking at it, you keep, somebody had a great sense of humor. This is fantastic work. It's really good. Do we know what the give a price on the tasting?
Yeah, the bundles that can be shipped to your home, the perfect pair is $61.
Yep.
The Sea of Red is $66, and the Dynamic Duo is $117.
Yep.
And if you come to the winery, it's $15 per person to do the Love is Blind experience here at the winery. And they did a really interesting take on the label, so that when you're tasting the wines, you are presented with this card, and when you rip it to expose the wine that is in your glass, it has the tasting notes inside as well.
Nice.
So it's a fantastic way to do it.
Are we just talking the month of February here, Barclay, in terms of this feature?
So our Love is Blind experience runs from February 1st till the 22nd. And then we have the Heavyweight Whites experience that's happening and from now until the middle of March, so March 15th. So we have two experiences that are happening at the same time. It's just the Love is Blind is really focused around Valentine's Day.
It's beautifully done. And congratulations to whoever. I know that they would have worked in partnership with you, but whoever actually put it all together did a great job. I can see this spreading. It's a very popular thing. What's the rest of the year look like? You're at it, right?
We're very busy in the winery right now. I actually had a hard time finding a spot quiet enough to do the interview because we have so much going on in the cellars and the barrel cellar. But we're busy putting together the early whites that are going to be bottled early March. So our rosés and our early whites, like our Chip Chenin Blanc,
yep.
And our Un Oak Chardonnay. And then we're putting together the rough blends for what will be bottled in the summer for our 2020 reds, the reserves and the estate series, and just taking stock of what came in with 2021 and see how they're aging for the first few months.
And of course, as most winemakers know, Barclay, that you're dealing with Mother Nature and terroir and everything around you. And then there's the unknown about any smoke that comes down that valley. It doesn't have to be your own local fire. It can be from somewhere else, but it can end up in your valley. So you just have to adjust and do the best you can.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of things you can do in the vineyard. You know, with whites and rosés especially, you can make sure you really are whole cluster picking everything, which is what we tend to do with most of our whites and reds and rosés anyway. But then you're also pressing that whole cluster instead of doing some of the sorting that you would normally do in a different year. So you're really reducing that time on skin. So whites and rosés, not a big deal. With reds, it's a little trickier because you're always fermenting on the skins. But there's tricks to that as well. There's a lot of tools in the toolbox in the cellar to make sure that the wine's pleasant.
I made some notes up at the top corner of a very busy sheet. Thursday through Monday, you're open for sales.
Yes.
And the experience open 11 a.m. to 4:30, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Yep, absolutely. So okay. There's enough time for you to sit down and fully enjoy it, take in the view.
Go, my friends. Road 13, Barclay Robinson, the winemaker. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'll say hello to the outside world for you.
I appreciate that. Okay. Thanks so much.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. When we come back, Graham Pierce from Kitsch. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. Hillside Bistro will be open March of 2022. Wine tastings are closed until March of 2022, and the wine shop hours are daily, 12 noon to 5 p.m. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. The Hatching Post Saloon and Smokery is now open. It's just up the road from the hatch. If you like your beer, smoked barbecue, and Wild West Saloon vibes, it's the place to be. Don't forget Hangover Church at Black Swift every Sunday. They include a special brunch and tasting experience courtesy of Grayson and Chef James Holmes of Crown and Thieves. This Sunday, they're attempting the very special fusion of romance and football. It includes Super Bowl snacks and a touch of romance. Crown and Thieves is releasing Dom and Dahmer, Bubbles on Saturday, and a limited release of a previously sold-out fan favorite on Sunday. Tastings will be accompanied by locally made chocolates. JasonParksCustoms.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Graham Pierce has joined me on the show. He's actually on my screen. If you go to our YouTube channel, you can watch this in video. Are you safe or you will?
Yeah, I'm safe. I'm well. Things are going well. Okay. Happy days. We just got a bunch of wine into bottle over the last on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. So that's a huge
it's a big deal. Yes, it's a big deal.
Exactly. I mean, really, from when we started in September, kind of, you know, an early season, started picking. It's been a big push all the way through to get everything through ferment, cleaned up, and into bottle. And, you know, we're super happy with the vintage. So now we can just relax for a little bit, let the wines rest for a few weeks, and then we can get excited about showing these wines this summer.
Don't go all nerdy on me. Here we go. listen, it's an important part. Because I've known you for so many years, I know the roads that you've traveled, but I think it's important that you tell the audience, just remind them how you got to that position you are now and where they might have tasted your wines along the way.
Right. Well, I mean, our history goes back, Terry. I know you remember when I was about 18 years old selling you pies at Capers in West Van. But from there, I went into the culinary industry and then moved to the Okanagan in 96 and went to work at Summerhill when there was about 30 wineries and we were the second one with the restaurant.
Yeah.
And I love that experience. It was amazing. And that really got me thinking that, you know, the winemaking side of it is kind of like being a chef. And it's, you know, super cool, dynamic spot. And, you know, things were just still in the infancy up here. So I was able to go back to school at that point before going over to Mount Boucherie Winery. And they were a big supplier for Summerhill at the time. And with about 275 acres of vines. So for me, that was amazing because it was 18 different varieties. So lots of paint to play with, lots of tonnage.
I can remember distinctly you standing there saying, we need more equipment. We need more equipment. This is just a lake of wine coming in here.
Exactly. We were a little bit undergun sometimes, especially some years when the crop was really up. And that's, I do remember you coming in there and getting reacquainted with you when you started going back down the wine road and you had the show and whatnot too. So that was really cool. And there, after that, I went to Black Hills in 2008 and had a really great run there. Very proud of what we were able to do there, making really fantastic wines in the South Okanagan, and then eventually selling to Andrew Peller in 2017. And then I left there about a year after that and went to Thyme with Harry McWaters, who unfortunately passed away during my tenure there and put us into a little bit of a tough position for a little while. And now it seems like they've really rebounded there, and I wish them all the best. And then I started talking to Trent and Rhea about the project they had up at Kitch Wines in East Kelowna. And as a sort of, you know, I kind of love the transition, being able to build out a project and, you know, add value and see what we can do with it. So it was really cool because they had a really great brand established, not much of a facility, and just a few crazy kind of workarounds we were doing. And so I landed there almost 2 years ago. So we got two vintages under my belt up there. And the first one was a little bit trying because we had almost no crop. We had quite a bit of damage. And then last year, our vineyards really rebounded for us. I was able to find quite a bit of fruit. And, you know, through kind of a really crazy year in the vineyard, made some really, really great, really concentrated, intense wine. So really happy with what we're going to see from 2021.
I just had a conversation with winemaker Barclay Robinson at Road 13. He's, of course, on the Golden Mile, and you're in Kelowna, but you have been there. You have been a winemaker in the South, right in that pocket. How different is it, really, in that hour and a half between the two of you?
It's remarkable, to be honest, and I think it's something that people don't really understand when they come here from other places and they say, oh, how can you grow Syrah and Gewurztraminer in the same areas? And we really can, and we can excel at both of them. But to specifically answer your question, I mean, I still do drive that route all the time. And in the summer, it'll be 6 to 7 degrees hotter in Soyuz than it will in Kelowna. Yeah. So, you know, you see that kind of swings throughout the year, a little bit warmer in the winters down there even as well, too, until we lose kind of, there's a weird, you know, you can have some weird things with the lake effect where close to the lake up here, it can stay a bit warmer. But yeah, totally, totally different animal. I mean, it's tougher where we are in the north for sure. It's just, you just don't get the degree day unit. So you just have to be a little bit more on your game all of the time. But you definitely have the opportunity to bring in wines with great flavor profiles and sure. lots of good natural acidity. I mean, so what maybe where we were fighting it in the south was having in the hot years, high alcohol and, you know, end up being with boozy wines with no acid. So you're trying to, you know, pick with when you still had acid, but they didn't have cooked flavors. But, you know, you're still looking for good flavors. So whereas now it's more about having the right crop load so that we're ripening up early enough that we're getting it off into September, early October, but not pushing it too long. We don't know how long our season's ever going to go. And also we want to be easy on our plants. So we don't want to be pushing them and having sure. lots of crop on as we go into the first few frosts of the year. So they need to be able to get a time for the plants to lignify and go into full winter dormancy.
So you wine fans out there, the reason why people like myself ask winemakers where they've been and where they've grown and made wines is because that's their palate. That is their, those are all of the colors that they work with as an artist. And the more you know about the land around you, the better winemaker you can be. If you're open to it, you got to be open to it.
Yeah. So, well, 100%. I think it's a really good point, Terry, because as you know, when you get to know the grapes and the vineyards really well, the yeah. winemaking just becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
is it ever easy? Is it ever easy?
It hasn't been for a while. I mean, it's something, you know what, a lot of wines really come together. Sure. You're always going to have some stuff that you struggle with for sure. So sometimes in the cellar, you end up with kind of the tough wines end up sucking up a lot of your time, and the wines that just came in really, really beautiful and you had a good plan for them and they go into great wood, then those ones actually can be kind of the easy ones. But that's about bringing in really, really good fruit in the vineyard. And so that's never easy.
Okay. I'm going to talk to Graham Pierce, the general manager and the winemaker at the same time. Can you hold up the two Riesling bottles? Okay.
Right there. You see them?
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful.
Right.
Now, let's start with the Riesling. We'll go to the Esther's Block in just a second. Esther's Block is just a valuable estate vineyard that you have. 2.5 acres, as I understand. East Kelowna, but there's something in your descriptor that says this 2020 Riesling is a classic East Kelowna Riesling, bright and vibrant on the nose with a pronounced palate reminiscent of green and yellow runts. I have never had a green or yellow runt. I know what a runt of litter is. It's a candy, is it not?
It is a candy.
Well, how did I miss that in my growing up that I never knew what a runt was?
I'm not sure if you're missing anything or not. I mean, my kids like those, but they're not really my favorites necessarily.
But it's a good thing, reminiscent of pears and lime sorbet. I understand.
It's a
very engaging Riesling.
Totally. And I mean, yeah, our team does an amazing job of writing those notes. I think they're awesome and super, super descriptive. Yeah. Very engaging Riesling. What we thought would be really cool was to introduce a new product. So the Esther's is a slightly different Riesling now. This is the, we did it in Puncheons actually. So kind of a fun, just 100 cases, super, super limited run. Yeah. And Esther's Block is the block that all surrounds the winery. So it's the Chardonnay. We also have some Riesling there, a little bit of Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris. Esther, the matriarch of the family. So it's a beautiful site. And really, when we look at like the defining characteristics, when you're looking at the notes there, we're definitely on the cooler side. So we have great soils, great water holding capacity. So we were able to survive kind of the those crazy temperatures that we saw this summer. The Riesling seemed to respond really, really well to that. I was a little bit worried because when you have, 40 plus degrees, when you think about Riesling, something that's not generally used to that.
Yeah.
I think our soils really helped in there. So yeah, super fun. The Riesling's mostly all estate in both of those wines, really.
Can you hold up the 2020 Esther's Block Riesling for a second? Just get close on that label for a second, just so people can look for that. Okay, wonderful. Because it's neutral oak, does that obviously sets it apart from the Riesling that we started with. You can over oak a wine. You must find balance with it.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the most important thing when you're putting whites into oak is to really use a super gentle hand. So I've always been a big fan of puncheons because they're the bigger barrels. So it's just sort of like less oak imprint onto the wine anyways. And it's really more about the vessel size and the ability to have lees contact and stir the lees and just make a sort of a really soft, really texturally on the palate is where the puncheons have the biggest impact.
3 months on the lees and 4 months in aging. I'm still surprised how different the first Riesling and the Esters block is. Are they all literally from the same plot of land?
Yes.
Amazing. I'm still amazed how vineyards can be literally the same plot of land and how different they can be. And it's one of the wonders of winemaking, I think.
But like I referenced earlier, though, a lot of the wines that are kind of, when you ask what's easy, the easy wines are things that come in perfectly from the vineyard. Sure. You don't have to make any adjustments on them. They taste great all the way through. And then you're just really being non-interventionist. So that's what we all hope for. And it's never quite like that with every lot of wine. Or you want to maybe just, you know, do a few experiments and play around a little bit and see what you have.
I am so impressed with this wine. And the fact that it has your name on it now. Because one of the times that we talked on that rooftop in Victoria, you were talking about someone else's wines completely different. They weren't yours.
Well, it's always a little bit difficult because, of course, it takes a few years to, when you come into a new role to
get
to
there now.
Wines and also to really know a little bit more about your vineyards and where you're going with them and get to know the project, right? So, it's always easier a few years in.
If you can give me a couple of seconds, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about your two Pinots that you've released.
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. He's Graham Pierce. He's the general manager and the winemaker at Kitsch. And when we come back, we're talking the 2020 Pinot Noir and the 2020 five-barrel Pinot Noir right after this. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. The Hatching Post Saloon and Smokery is now open. It's just up the road from the hatch. If you like your beer, smoked barbecue, and Wild West Saloon vibes, it's the place to be. Don't forget Hangover Church at Black Swift every Sunday. They include a special brunch and tasting experience courtesy of Grayson and Chef James Holmes of Crown and Thieves. This Sunday, they're attempting the very special fusion of romance and football. It includes Super Bowl snacks and a touch of romance. Crown and Thieves is releasing Dom and Dahmer, Bubbles on Saturday, and a limited release of a previously sold-out fan favorite on Sunday. Tastings will be accompanied by locally made chocolates. JasonParksCustoms.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. Terry David Mulligan. Details at mulliganstew.ca. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. If you're listening before the 14th, there's releases are going to start coming shortly. They're going to come furiously fast. And maybe we'll start to see pours again, Graham. Will we see wine festivals show up? Are we going to be able to? What do you think the year is going to look like?
I'm very optimistic that we're going to be able to get back to some degree of normalcy in the wine industry this year. I mean, I really, really hope so. We have definitely missed everybody. And we were just talking about Vancouver Wine Fest just the last couple of days and, you know, signing up and hoping to be there. And they've got the full slate of events. So that's in May. So we think that we'll be able to do something like that. I mean, maybe it's going to have to be reduced capacity.
Yeah, but they
seem to be going full speed ahead at this point. So I don't know if they know something that we don't know, but it looks like we're going to be over the precipice here, possibly. And
it's my next interview. We'll see what we can figure out. KITSCH, Kitsch Wines, Graham Pierce, general manager, winemaker, wonderful winemaker, and a pretty good GM. The 2020 Pinot Noir, 100% East Kelowna fruit. It's just exactly what I want from a Pinot. And actually, I've kind of fine-tuned what I want from Pinots by throwing out all of the rules. When you go to the Celebrate Pinot Noir Festival and there's 35 Pinots and everyone is different from their neighbors. They're all different. They're all dark. They're all light. They're all involved. I try not to bring preconceived notions to a Pinot. I just enjoy it for what it is. And it's a great handshake. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much, Terry. I think that's a really good way to look at it as well, because I think more than any other variety, it can be so, so diverse. It's definitely expression of terroir and, you know, expression of how it's managed in the vineyard and how it's managed in the winery as well, too. But it's definitely one that can go, you know, the full gamut from light and almost no tannin to some wines that, to me, I wouldn't even suspect them to be Pinot. And they're probably great wines on their own, a little bit away from what we're doing. But so to me, what the great part about it being in East Kelowna is we can make that Pinot that's a little more restrained, you know, still good tannin, but a little bit lighter. To me, that's real Pinot. Like, if they're super dark and heavy, that can be a really cool wine, but it's not the kind of Pinot that we really want to be
well,
making.
This has got spices in it. And I kind of wonder, is it always there or just depending on the year?
Well, I find it can always be a little bit of a spicy grape. I think with this, I don't have a huge amount of frame of reference for making these wines, right? So I've seen it both years that I've been there, a little bit on the spicy side for sure. I don't know. To me, more on like strawberries and cherries are kind of dominant.
So the 2025 barrel Pinot Noir, from the same plots, the same area, or completely different? Did you move on?
No, from the same areas. With that, really, it's just a selection. Yeah, so, you know, we just go into it. We, you know, we're not a huge producer anyways. So, you know, with the other Pinot, we're only doing a few hundred cases. But we just kind of look and see what five barrels are going to work synergistically the best together. So it's a fun little team exercise that we can, you know, go through and put together a bunch of trials and then just try to really just weed out the best of the best. And it's always the barrels that you might think are the very best, but it's the ones that are going to work the, you know, synergistically together with getting a good mix of, you know, extraction, oak level as well too, because we don't want to, you know, go too heavy on the oak there as well.
Let me ask you about you and oak and Pinot. Are you an oak guy in Pinot?
Well, it all goes to oak, you know, but we're around 30% new wood and, you know, depending on the year. So
that's what I meant to ask, yes.
Yeah. And really in that too, you know, we're looking for barrels again that don't have a really heavy imprint on the fruit, where the fruit can still come through the oak as well. You know, you don't want to go too light on that with, you know, sometimes we did a little bit of convection toasting as well with no toast in the barrels. That can work as well, but we're going more to just a really, really light toast on the barrels.
It just seems to me, you know, I was hearing about this this fruit that wants to beat you over the head, but when you get it right, it's right. It can be a humbling experience dealing with Pinot because it seems to want to go sideways easily.
Yeah, there's a lot that can go wrong, basically, I would say with that. From very beginning in the vineyard, you know, just getting a crop on and, you know, the right size crop and then being able to get right before anything happens to it can be a little tricky. And then on the winemaking side, definitely hard to get color. So depending on the style that you're doing, might work a little bit harder to get extraction. And then, then after that, it's a pretty, for me, kind of standard red wine production. And then about having good barrels lined up for the you know, what you're looking for.
KITSCH, Kitch Wines, Graham Pierce, general manager, wonderful winemaker. Can I just run this by you? Because these are tasting notes. I don't know if they're yours or just tasting notes. And I love, they're always incredibly descriptive. The nose is pronounced with juicy berries and salted caramel, topped off with a touch of winter spice and fennel candies on the palate.
Nice.
Fennel like candies.
Like the ones you get at an Indian restaurant, right?
I just love that. Because I'm a simple man. I either like it or I don't. I like it. Yeah. I don't want to break it down into components. I just like it and I appreciate the work.
Well, that's it. And I think that that's, for a majority of consumers, to me, the big test is if you're having dinner and you order a bottle of wine and the server comes back and says, you're looking for another bottle and you just go, yes. And you don't bother to pick up the menu and go back through it, right? So I don't know if anybody analyzes it quite to the minutiae of we do, but
No.
tobacco, I can't write those tasting notes. That's not my forte at all.
Do you recognize your wine? Well, I mean, you're looking at that. Is that what you get out of?
Well, I think it's always just a little bit different for everybody,
Sure
right?
it is.
So I some of those, I'd say about 50% of that, yeah, 100%, yeah, I get, but some of the other stuff, not so much.
Okay.
I mean, it depends. It's power. If maybe I was reading that as I was trying the wine, that's what I get, but it's not necessarily what I would write down
That's right.
if you
Here's the deal.
text me to
No,
make a note.
you know what? I would say to the server, have you got a wine made by Graham Pierce? And whatever that wine is, I'm going to drink it.
Too kind, Terry.
See, that's the deal, man. You are the tasting note for me. Simple as that. All right, what's
Awesome.
coming? Once we hang up, what else is coming down the road?
Well, the interesting one for I wanted to tell you about is we did do a little bit of talking about, the wines of the South. I managed to secure a small vineyard of Syrah, about 3 acres of Syrah, down just at the very tip of Soyuz Lake on the
Ah.
west side of the lake. So we just bottled that. So that's won't be for a little bit, but look for that at the end of the summer. But that's a fun release. And then the other really exciting thing we have going on at the winery this year is we've got a super cool program like that we did last year with people picnicking out on the grass and enjoying tastings out there with the beautiful view. It's just an awesome spot. But we wanted to up the game this year. So we've got a guy we've been working with it's called Broken Anchor Food Truck. So Ross is going to be up there looking right now. We're still a little bit early days for the planning process, of course, with all the moving parts. But it looks like we're up there for Thursday to Sundays all summer. So last year we were doing more on the pre-book side for all the food and stuff. So we're hoping to have offerings available to everybody coming up there.
What's he cooking?
It's going to be tacos, tapas, and pizzas. And all the, and a lot of picnicky stuff as well too for
Okay.
for enjoying on the lawn. So yeah, so we're it's all in the planning stages right now, but we've got a lot of exciting stuff planned for the hospitality program up at Kitch Wines this summer,
Okay.
and the four releases that you just got, and then we've just got all the other Kitch faves into bottle, rosé, Pinot
Where's
Gris,
the damn
Viognier,
rosé,
Chardonnay.
Graham?
The rosé just got bottled.
Come
We just
on.
tried it. And we're actually going to release it coming up here on Valentine's Day.
Can't
So
happen
there you
soon
go.
enough. We
Right?
love the rosé. It's a big house favorite here.
Awesome. That's
Talk to Meg
great.
Mulligan. Meg Mulligan says this is the best.
There you go. Well, that's perfect. Everybody wins then.
She's a tough judge. Okay,
I bet.
Kitch is the name of this winery. Graham Pierce is the general manager and the winemaker. And we'll see you down the road, hopefully at one of those wine festivals, whether in May with Vancouver or whatever. Let's just see
Right.
each other, okay?
I'll
Be
come
nice.
visit you on the island, Terry. Hope the move goes well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck with your house buying and selling in
Thanks, sir.
this day and age. Thank you for doing this. By the way, the prices on all of these bottles, we're being adjusted as Graham and I were talking, so we're going to put them on the website. Check out the website mulliganstew.ca, Tasting Worm Radio, and you'll see all the prices on the 2020 Rieslings and the 2020 Pinot Noirs made by the winemaker and the general manager, Graham Pierce. Thanks, Graham.
Thanks, Terry. Great talking to you.